back. It's been a long time. Shouldn't have left you.
Yeah.
Yep.
We did. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another quasi episode of the For Your Consideration podcast. I mean, this isn't a full feature length film. It's more like a short film version of a podcast because we're just sitting here talking about the new Marvel movie just came out last Friday, Black Panther 2: Wakanda Forever.
Wakanda Forever. Sorry.
And we're here to break it all down. No Tamika today. I mean, she's probably on the verge of going into labor. that's low key. The baby's due next week, man.
It so is like, due. She might be in labor as we speak. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. I mean, we may get a text right in the middle of this saying, hey, guys, I'm on my way to the hospital.
Yeah, to her credit, she did warn us that, you know, obviously the last episode was going to be her last episode, and that's proving to be the case for sure.
It could be very, very well sure. I mean, and the thing was, is like, we almost had her, you know, she was almost, she was about to do the podcast, but you know,
she was like,
I wasn't meant
to, nah,
I wasn't,
the same can't for do me. It. That's yeah. Same for me this week.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, like I said, dropped. It's getting good reviews, not as good as the original film. I got a chance to check it out on Saturday. Danny, would you get a chance to?
I saw it Monday.
Okay, saw it on Monday. Yeah. It was a little weird for me, just a little background. I saw it in the movie theater, and I genuinely, like, I love kids. Like, I have no problem with kids, but when I'm sitting there trying to watch a movie like this, I don't want to
hear noise.
Don't want to hear no noise, man. Unfortunately, I was sitting next to not even a full grown kid. I was sitting next to a baby.
Oh my God, that sucks. So you have to watch it again, basically, is what you're telling me.
A woman brought her baby to the movie theater.
You're just such a dick at that point. You really are. I don't care. I'm sorry. You can get a babysitter. You can try at least. You're not cool.
Yeah, I don't.
Not cool for that. You're not.
Yeah. So it was a little distracting.
A little.
For me to say the least. Say the least, I should say. But I was able to get through the movie. And I was able to watch the whole thing.
I'm glad.
But I do need to watch it again. But having said that, I have had some time to formulate an opinion of the movie. But Danny, we'll start with you. We want to start with the positives, negatives.
Yeah, we can start with the positives because I think the positives definitely outweigh any negatives that were in this film, which is far and few between. It's funny because I left the theater. Like, it was like, yeah, this movie is really good. I really liked it. And the more I think about it, the more I actually love this movie. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not anywhere close near the original. The original is just... It's obviously going to be better, but for the pivot that Ryan Coogler, I have to give Ryan Coogler just a world of credit, man. He took something like that originally didn't have Shuri as the centerpiece, and you gotta give credit to Letitia Wright as well. Like they made something that was tragic, and they really pivoted and made something. Honestly, probably something that's better than what they would have had on paper originally. I just love when Marvel takes their superheroes like seriously. You know what I mean? Like they take this serious note, and obviously the theme of this movie was like grief and how do you process grief and what the ramifications are when you let your grief get to you and let revenge kind of take over. And you see that with Shuri's, you know, development throughout the entire film. And I really love that. I just loved how she was the centerpiece. I loved how we were on her, on this journey with her through the ups and downs of her just trying to process, you know, losing her brother and losing her mother too. Spoiler alert. I mean, I hope you're not here.
I guess we should have said that in the beginning.
I'll put it in the title. Yeah, sure. So, and Just Angela Bassett. Come on.
Yeah, man. That the one scene where she's speaking to Okoye after Okoye lost her daughter.
Yeah.
That was a really powerful scene. And that's an Oscar worthy moment. I mean, I don't think by any chance she's going to get nominated for an Oscar, but that was an Oscar worthy performance in that scene.
Honestly, alone. You never know, man. She might. Angela Bassett might get an Oscar. And now, will she win? Probably not, because, you know,
yeah, okay.
It's the Oscars. But I could see her getting at least nominated. So, yeah, Queen Mamunda.
Have I not given everything?
It's just so great. And the thing is, you hear it in the trailer, and it's still just as powerful.
Yeah, now you have full context.
Yeah,
and
it makes it even better. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, that was just like, that was probably one of the best scenes. And also what was great was that moment of silence when the credits, that opening,
yeah, for sure.
And it was just, at least in my theater, everybody was silent. No one made a peep.
No, the same in my theater. Even the baby was silent.
Well, good on the baby. <I know. laughs> Definitely good on the baby. I thought that was one of the best movie going experiences in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, that was something special. So it was just highlighting all of like Chad Boseman's just greatest hits, like really, and it was just, you know, I didn't cry any tears, but it was definitely like
the same with me. I didn't cry any tears or anything like that, but I definitely felt like
you felt that solemnness. Like, you felt,
for sure, especially at the beginning, as you said, with the. With the Marvel credits and showing a montage of his greatest hits as Black Panther, and even the open funeral scene, which was beautiful and very well done. I love the fact that while they did honor him at the beginning of the movie, they still recognized that they needed to tell a story. And so right after the funeral, they jump into the sequel of the movie.
Yes.
So that part, I really appreciate it that they didn't make it this long drawn out thing, and even though like grief is interwoven within the movie, it's not banging you like over the head that like Chadwick isn't in the movie.
And it's crazy because he's brought up a lot, but it's through like just, you know, conversation, just like, or this is why this is happening. Which was great. And I think they handled that well. Like, I'm glad they left it as it was an unknown. Well, to us, it was an unknown illness. Yeah. Nothing anybody could do. I thought that was reverent to what, you know, Chadwick went through, obviously. So I'm glad they didn't try to force some, you know, he died in battle or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I thought that was very classy. I love the pivot went Namor. And having this kind of Mayan, ancient Mayan, Aztec origins, even though he's a mutant, but I'm talking about the people of Telecon. Like, I just thought that was a great pivot.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the great things that we've seen with both of these Black Panther movies is the villain themselves. Mm-hmm. And because one of the things that Marvel typically struggles with is developing their villains.
Yes.
But Ryan Coogler and his writer, Joe Cole, I think.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I think they, at least over the course of these two movies, have done a really good job of developing these villains so they're not like one note sort of throwaway villains with very minimal or like motivations. I just want to take over the world. No, these characters have a lot of depth to them. And especially Namor.
Yeah, and he has a cause to root for, like, you know?
Yeah.
So it just makes
sense. Yeah, he just really wants to protect his people. Yeah, now, the way he's going about it, obviously, again, is arguable. But at the end, he really wants to protect his people. And I was talking to Alana after the movie, and I know she was talking about how the movie sort of slows down in the middle, and she really wanted to pick up. But I think those middle parts were...
Crucial.
Yeah, yeah. I think it really, and you know, you get the character backstory of Namor, but also you get to see them as people, like not as like villains per se. Like, you get to see them as like, hey, they're just like Wakanda, you know, they're people and they're prideful, and you know, they have a culture here too, and they are fighting for their preservation, just like Wakanda is.
Yeah.
And why shouldn't we join together? You know. But yeah, I like those portions, the quieter moments of the movie, where it's like a lot of character development.
Those were the strongest moments of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'll get to, because that's actually one of my negatives, but I'll get to some other parts of the movie. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
And I just like Namor's like origin of his name. I thought that was incredible. Like whoever wrote that, incredible wordplay. And it just made sense too. Like it was, I'm telling you, the more I think about it, the more I really love this movie, because there's a lot of nuances to this film. Like you would have to go back to and watch. But even in just thinking about it, I was like, dude, they really hit this. Like,
yeah. And you could tell they did a lot of research.
Yes, exactly.
In it as well, which I greatly appreciate. I love when filmmakers take the time out to really invest, especially if you're going to, you know, bring this culture on screen. You have people that are of this ethnicity that deserve respect, and I feel like this film did it. Now, I'm not of that ethnicity, so I don't, but it feels like they have, and I haven't seen anyone talk about how, you know, the film doesn't, is from what I've read, it does it to a good job.
Yeah, I think so too. Like I think they hit it as much as they could. Like I'm sure there's some historian out there that was like, okay, well, but you can take it with grain of salt because this is a film. But I think it was, you know, like you said, I think it was greatly researched, and I think they put all that research into everything they did with them, with the design of the characters, design of the, you know, their interiors and exteriors. And essentially like taking this Atlantis.
That's what I was going to talk about.
Yeah. Setting and putting it underwater still, but having it be something entirely different. I thought that was
entirely amazing. Different. I thought that was great too, because obviously DC has Aqua. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
The Namor is the Marvel MCU or Marvel equivalent to Aquaman. Yes. And they made it completely different. And I applaud Ryan Coogler for developing that idea, because, you know, I think it would have been very stagnant or very repetitive to do Atlantis over again and have these two franchises that have Atlantis in their movies and, you know, sort of going head to head against, even though Marvel and DC do kind of go head to head against each other. And The Rock, side note, The Rock sort of alluded to it as well when he said Marvel kicked his ass because Black Adam is still in theaters. And
for sure. Which they always do. So.
Yeah. but let's talk about the surprise here. Suri. Her story arc and how she eventually becomes Black Panther by the end of the film.
I love the story arc. I mean, she, once again, let's start from here. She goes into the ancestral plane and she sees Killmonger.
Yeah, brilliant. That was a surprise to me.
Was it a surprise to you? I knew he was going to be here, be in the movie, but you didn't know in what capacity.
Well, I mean, I saw his name and IMDb when I was researching the cast, but I completely forgot by the time the movie had rolled around that he was in the movie, because by that time you're damn near 2.5 hours into the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
You're like, oh shit, I forgot this guy's in the movie, and he pops out, and I was like, but it makes total sense for him to be there.
Yes.
And for her to see him. That's what I loved about it. Like, it wasn't just like a cameo just for the sake of there being a cameo.
Yeah.
It actually made sense that why Suri would see Killmonger.
Yeah, because even in their original film, like, she, you know, she was on his side for, you know, not a lot of things, but like some here points here and there where she argued with, you know, T'Challa about. So, yeah, the fact that he's here now and even more of a capacity, because obviously she's, you know, she's mad as hell. She lost her parents. She lost her brother. You know, she like literally just buried her mother. So it just makes sense for him to be there. And I thought that was a brilliant piece of storytelling right there. And overall, I enjoyed the arc. What did you think overall?
No, I enjoyed the arc as well, because I loved that she was this grieving person, and that, you know, it shows how people grieve differently. Mm-hmm. You know, you see that between her mom, right? And how she is grieving, where she's more angry and upset with the world. And in contrast, she's kind of like Namor in that regard. Like, Namor is upset with the world too, and he wants to go to war with the world to protect his people. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of like, I'm angry with the world. I want to watch the world burn. You know, when she's out there talking to her mom and she's trying to get her to burn the funeral garments, she was like, I'll burn something, but it won't be, you know, the garments, you know what I mean? Turning that she'll burn the world because she's so angry with how, you know, life has sort of taken its toll, you know, on her. And then we finally see that manifestation at the end of the movie, even though she finally becomes Black Panther, she's like this angry version of the character. Even when she's talking to M'Baku, and he's like trying to be like the, you know, the uncle to her and try and talk some sense into her.
Like, he's the one that has rationale, really? Seriously?
Yeah, exactly. That was crazy. But she's like, no, I'm going to kill him, and you're going to help me kill this man.
You're going to help me everything. Do this.
Yeah. So, I mean, even then, I mean, it's not really until the end of the movie where she sees her mom that she's able to sort of let everything go and like come back to her senses and realize that, you know, killing this man isn't going to bring her back. Isn't going to bring back T'Challa.
And even more than that, though, like, it was like just visiting her time in Telokan and just realizing, hey, these are, you know, Telokan and Wakanda are like in the same kind of boat, like as far as their, you know, their, you know, how they go about things. And obviously having
I don't know the word that you're searching for.
I want to say vibranium for some reason. The stuff.
The heart shaper.
No, the freaking black paint. The
yeah, bro. I don't
what
know
the
what
whole world
about.
Is after because of for that Wakanda.
Vibranium.
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah,
that's what it's called.
Yeah,
I thought it was called something different. That's
okay.
That's what I meant. They both have vibranium.
Because in the comic books, which Marvel wasn't able to use at the time, it's called, I believe it's antimantium.
Right.
Which is what
Wolverine has in his
clothes. Yeah, Wolverine has in him. Yeah. But Marvel couldn't use that phrase because X-Men was still a Fox. So they had
Which I hope that makes a comeback. I love that word. I know it's stupid, but. Yeah.
I don't know.
It just reminds me of the game. There was a Wolverine game. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. That was actually a good game.
Yeah. It was the parallels between Telokan and Wakanda. I think in that moment too, she recognized that and her time with them. I think she held that dear. I don't think she ever let that go, even when she really wanted to kill him, obviously. And he had it coming. Like, you killed her mom, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, I wouldn't have been mad if she,
did he intentionally kill her mom?
I mean, he didn't not intentionally kill her. Okay. He knew what he was doing. Like, come on. Like, you're going to throw water bombs in a building? Come on. What else is going to happen?
Yeah.
So she had every right to if she wanted to, but I'm glad, obviously, that she, you know, she made the justifiable decision.
Yeah. Okoye, the side character, but she has a pretty big role in this movie.
Yeah, she does.
She's arguably one of my favorite characters in the Black Panther universe of characters.
Yeah.
I love the fact that she had more to do in this movie, and again, we go back to that throne room scene between her and Ramunda, and Queen Ramunda, and where she like strips her of her rank. And like, I love that scene, obviously because of the performance Angela gave, but also from Danai as well. I mean, you could definitely tell emotionally, she, the way she portrays this character is like, that is her whole being, like being, you know, general of the Dor Milaje. And to have that taken away from her, to lose Suri all in, you know, in that moment. I definitely felt for her. Yeah. And then, but the queen brought up some good points too. Like, you know, you
made me do this.
You've been dropping the ball. And I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. I definitely forgot for a minute there. Cause Dor Milaje and the original Black Panther forget that their job is to protect the king. And so they, when Killmonger becomes king, they had to protect him.
And they did not do that. I loved her Danai Gurira and in this. I think all her scenes hit, like when we didn't even touch on Riri.
I was gonna get to her eventually.
I guess that was one of your negatives.
Yeah, it's one of my negatives.
I like how the character was introduced.
I liked how they introduced the character.
And I have no problem. I think Dominique Thorne, I think she does a great job.
No, my problem isn't with Dominique Thorne, because I think Dominique is on her way to being a great actor.
Yeah.
Because just from what I saw in Judas and the Black Messiah, I think she has otherworldly actor talent. I just have a problem with how she was utilized within the movie, within the plot of the movie.
Yeah, that's fair. But that being said, it's just great to have this kind of character.
Yeah.
Taking up the mantle for Iron Man. It kind of fills that void for me, at least. And once again, it's something that still has to be developed. I do get your kind of, you know, your stance on like what this movie did wrong with her. I definitely get it, which you'll get into. But I still think she's obviously important to this film. Obviously, she's kind of central to the plot. So I have no problems with that. And I think she did a great job overall. I just want to give her credit.
Oh yeah, for sure, definitely.
But yeah,
everyone in this movie did a great job of portraying all their characters. I think all the women that played the Dor Milaje did a great job. I thought Winston Duke, you know, as M'Baku,
oh my God,
coming back, I think he's great. Even though I wish that he was more integral to the plot as well.
I mean, if they come out with a Black Panther 3, I think he's going to be definitely pivotal in that one. Because they did, at the end of this thing, kind of set him up to, you know, I think he's going to be the king going forward if he wins the, you know, whatever battle on the waterfall. What's that waterfall called? I don't know.
I know. I forget this.
I'm just saying they set him up. I think they set up.
Yeah. No. You're right. They did set him up to be king. Kind of like how Valkyrie is in Thor Ragnarok. Not Thor Ragnarok. Thor Love and Thunder, where she. Well, if they set it up in Thor Ragnarok, where Thor sort of steps down from being king, and he gives it to Valkyrie.
Right.
So I get that, but the main character is Thor. Just like the main character is going to be Black Panther or Suri, which we'll get to, because I don't know what they're actually going to do with the character, because the way that they ended the movie, you know, with that sort of mid credit ending there, but we'll talk about that.
Val makes an appearance in this film.
So I mean, if you've been following the MCU TV shows, then she's a familiar face to you. If you haven't, then she's gonna be like, who is this person? But if you've seen what's that movie, if you've seen Black Widow, she appears in that movie. But she has appeared in several MCU TV shows, and she's gonna be in a Thunderbolts movie. Yeah.
She's gonna be as well, very so pivotal. She's gonna be very pivotal going forward, basically.
Yeah,
And she's like the head of the CIA. So it's just like, okay, that was a leap, that was a jump. I don't mind it, but it was like, oh shit, she's coming up. So just that was just a no, and her, you know, being married to Ross and, you know, that kind of
I liked it. I like Ross, and I liked their dynamic too. That sort of came out of nowhere,
enjoyed it. But yeah, getting to that mid-credit scene, it is revealed that T'Challa and Nakia had a son. And I think he will take the mantle as Black Panther.
You think, and that's actually one of my questions here is, do you think that he will take the mantle in the next film? Like they do like a time jump where he is older and he's like maybe in his teenage years? Or do you think we may get like another film with Shuri as Black Panther, or maybe not another film with Shuri, but not another standalone film with Shuri, but maybe we'll get through another phase where Shuri is still the Black Panther character and you see her pop up in the Avengers movie or some of these other movies that they have.
I think she will pop up as the Black Panther in other MCU films. And then we'll get to Black Panther 3, and that's when Toussaint or T'Challa Jr. will take the helm. So I think we'll see her throughout, but I think that's going to be the main story in Black Panther 3, if I were to take a random wild guess.
No, I think the same as well. I mean, I wouldn't complain on if they do a third Black Panther movie and Shuri's the main, you know, character in that movie. But
the ending, but no, I don't know if in the ending, do you think that she even wants to be? It didn't seem like she even wanted to be.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think she's fully embracing like being Black Panther at the end of the movie. I think she did what she had to do. Yeah. And I think she's fully content just being the smartest person in the world.
Next to Riri.
Basically. Okay. Probably next. I think she, but I think Kevin Feige said that she is the smartest person. Nice. Yeah. But if someone disagrees or has proof that he didn't say that, send it to me. I'll make the correction. But and what do you think about like people? And, you know, and I think they did a fantastic job because a lot of people were saying recast them. There's like this huge division of people. You see, they're like recast them or don't recast the character. And I guess in a weird way, they sort of appeased both parties because they didn't recast them for this movie, but they still technically recast them. They even gave him the same name. Yes. They gave him son the same name, T'Challa. My guess is that you're going to eventually see him as a Black Panther, unless they do something crazy, not something crazy, but unless they're kind of like, because he's sort of, what's her name? Nakia and T'Challa wanted to raise him like away from Wakanda, that maybe he's just like, we know about him and he's out there, but he doesn't really want to become king at any point, not become king, but even become the Black Panther at any point in time. He's just fully content with just being a regular average Joe working a regular 9-to-5 job, unless they did something like that. But I don't foresee that happening. I do think that they're going to eventually, if you're going to get the male T'Challa back as Black Panther.
Yeah. And I think it's smart. I think they went about it the right way throughout this. Like I said, like you couldn't recast. It wasn't an option to recast him now. It just wasn't. You couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You just couldn't. It would just, it's just, there's too much legacy there. But setting up, having him have a son that takes the reins, it feels right. It feels necessary. Not that Shuri can't be Black Panther. Like I don't have any complaints, but the way that they told her story is clearly she's like the reluctant hero almost. Like,
yeah.
So.
And who knows, you know, with them having the heart-shaped herb, you may have more than one Black Panther. I mean, because now Shuri, you know, has been Black Panther, or, you know, could be Black Panther in the future. We could see T'Challa as Black Panther. You could have, theoretically, you could have two Black Panthers at the same time in a movie. I'm not saying, like, you have a whole bunch of Black Panthers out there. Yeah,
not like you're
around.
Not gonna Spider-Man it, but
yeah. But I'm saying, like, maybe like a team up movie or something like that, where maybe like one of them dies, where you see like Shuri dying, you know, in the movie. I think it's a possibility.
Yeah.
We like we said, we didn't even really talk about Nakia.
Yeah, I wish she had more to do, but...
I kind of wish she had more to do. It's kind of weird for like a 3-hour movie, and you're still kind of wishing that she had more to do.
But once again, her role comes at that.
yeah, her role does come on. And they do a good job of explaining it as well, like why she... Like, she was off sort of raising her son. She was off in Haiti doing her thing, you know what I mean? And so they sort of
explained. And I like it how there. It wasn't obvious, like, when we first see her in Haiti. And it was just like, man, I guess she's just teaching these kids or whatever, I guess. And then okay, that's what you're okay, that's great.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad that they sort of paid it off at the end, because I would have been like, okay. Yeah, like she couldn't come to the funeral. Like, yeah, what? Exactly. Like, that I didn't really like the rationale like behind it until really, the end of the movie. Exactly. Yeah, until I got it.
And I like that you know at the end, like Ramonda did, know that too. Which would have sucked if she died and didn't know. That would have sucked. So I'm glad she knew.
Yeah. Well, what did you think about? I mean, this is going off a little bit, but still. Staying on point here, what do you think of the people out there that, and I've seen this a couple of times, who are saying that there weren't enough men in the movie, that it was mainly woman dominated characters? I feel like we just gotta address it.
Shut the hell up is what I have to tell you. Just shut the hell up. Shut your mouth. Go somewhere. Go touch some grass. Eat some Wheaties.
I was going to say, even in the first movie, I felt like even like a good mix of genders there in the first movie. I mean, first of all, it's kind of hard to add even more male characters because the Dora Milaje are female warriors to begin with. So that's hard. Nakia is a woman. Suri is also a woman. Queen Ramonda is a, it's kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard. Like, where do you want them to add more
male it's like characters? It's central to the story. Like, it's
yeah. I mean, you, and these people are in the comics, you know what I'm saying? Like,
what are we doing? No, shut your mouth is what I have to say. Get off Twitter.
But overall, I want to commend Ryan and his entire team of people and Marvel and Disney, because they have really an impossible task here, and they set out to do something that rarely, unfortunately, happens, where you have your star lead pass away suddenly. And you have a $1 billion franchise, and now you got to go and make a sequel to a movie and not have him around. Unfortunately, they had a lot to accomplish in this movie. And I know I'm going to talk about some of the negatives of the movie, but I feel like this is important to say now. To me, what he was tasked to do and what the story was to honor Chadwick, to introduce new characters, to introduce Suri as a new Black Panther, to still have all the action pack jam sequences, to have to rewrite the script after you had an entire script all planned out and all pre-production was starting and all that stuff, and to have to pivot right in the middle of that.
To me,
you got to give your hats off to the entire team for doing that.
Absolutely. And that's honestly really why I love this movie. Like, the more I think about it, the more, and the challenges that they faced, the more that the final product that came out, the fact that it was this good, and I was totally invested in every character for the most part. I think that's a testament to Ryan Coogler and the whole MCU, staff, basically. And I wish MCU would do this more, where they take their heroes to a more serious tone. Because I think when they do it, and it doesn't have to be like on DC level, kind of Batman type stuff. It doesn't have to be all that. But when they take their superhero seriously and they take their story and they ground these characters, I think they're the best at it. And I think...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I think if they do that more, I think phase 5 and all the other phases can be just as good as, phase 2 and 3 were, and all that. Because we know, we just hear the criticisms every time. It's ad nauseum at this point. Oh, Phase 4 sucks, whatever. I think it's still pretty good, but.
No, I mean, it's kind of like, because they've set the bar so high for themselves, you know, to say like, because to me, I mean, I didn't really like Thor, God, and God of Thunder.
Yeah.
Love and Thunder. Sorry. God of Thunder. Well, he is the God of Thunder. Yeah. But I wasn't a huge fan of that movie.
Right.
But to say some of the even the more weaker MCU movies aren't bad movies, like Thor Love and Thunder is not a bad movie. No. I thought it was okay, but it's not a bad movie. Like they can't say they may put out a bad TV show like She-Hulk. but as far as like the movies, they don't really put out bad movies. They have a formula. They stick to their formula. They're very good at their formula. And that's why they continue to put out consistent movies. But I did want to talk about some of the things that I particularly didn't like, because there's no movie is perfect, unfortunately. We already talked about one of them, which was the character of Riri Williams. And I know that she's going to be getting her own Disney Plus show, so I'm also considering that, factoring in that. That's why it's like it's a negative for me, but I'm sure that within the show it'll be, I'm sure we'll probably get more background information of her character. I mean, they did try and give a little bit of it at the end of the movie when they're talking about her dad passing, where Suri's giving her a car.
I guess
my biggest point, and I guess this sort of goes to Namor and his motivations, is because the movie sort of starts out with like she of him trying to find the scientist that built this machine that could find, you know, vibranium, and he's like, I have to find her, I have to kill her, I have to kill her. And then in the middle of the movie, he does a huge flip and he literally says in the movie, I don't care about her anymore. It's all about a war with the surface. I mean, with, you know, with
the surface everyone world.
Else. Yeah, the surface world. And so from that point on, she doesn't, she like, she's inconsequential to the movie.
Yeah.
Like once he,
yes.
Like once he stops caring about her, well, the movie's kind of like, oh, we stop caring about her too. You know, I mean, she does some stuff at the end of the movie to help, you know, bring back the heart-shaped herb, but it's kind of like she's kind of a background character.
Yeah, after he makes the decision to not kill her, like she could not be in it and no one would care.
Honestly, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's a very major point. That's and you are right about that. My biggest thing was just her freaking the design of her suit at the end.
That was the other point I was gonna say. I hated that design so much, man.
And I can't tell if they did it on purpose because it's just one of her first suits, or I don't know. Because her first suit is like car parts and all that, which is great. Yeah. That's fine. That's lovely. But it's just like this is supposed to be her get up, like her real get up, and it sucked.
It really did. That design of that suit was not. What wasn't it, man? I'm sorry. It wasn't.
Like, they tried to put braids in the helmet and stuff. I know. I was like, okay,
it looked very cartoonish, man. It looked something out of like one of those bad Transformer movies. Like, I was really disappointed that was the iron.
Everybody's crapping on like the Midnight Angel.
I didn't like it either,
but. Compared to what Riri was wearing, I was like, I'll take that any day.
I think part of it is the design of the suits.
Yeah.
But I think a part of it also too is the CGI of it. There's some CGI that's kind of like a little.
And I don't want to. I'm not going to trash them for that because once again, this was in the middle of pandemic when they're trying.
Yeah,
to do
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
And with the pivot of the script, like it was bound to happen. But it is noticeable. Especially with her suit, man, and the like the UI and within her helmet too. Just throw it in the trash. It didn't detract anything, but it didn't help
you. No. I guess my sort of problem is that she's supposed to be like Iron Man, the next Iron Man, and I'm like, they sort of didn't draw any like links to her and Iron Man, like why she actually built this suit like, why is Iron Man such an influence to her? You know what I mean? Because in the comics, he has an integral part of her life of why she actually builds the suit.
And like you alluded to, though, I think they're going to explore that.
I hope that's the case.
I don't think you can even have that show without going into that.
Yeah.
So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt to say that I think they're going to explore that in the series.
Yeah. The other thing, this is like, take it for what it is, but maybe I was thinking too hard about this, but the tactical standpoint of the Namor and the Talokan, I don't know, what do you call them? The Talokanese? I don't I don't know.
The Talokans?
The Talokans? Okay.
I don't know if that's right, but that's what it sounds right.
So they live underwater. So they're used to it. So why would you go fight them inland on their turf? Like, and what, that made no sense to me. Like, I mean,
they had
they had this
water ether. Okay, yeah, I do get that.
And I didn't. And Suri kind of left her people low key out to die. Like,
well, that's kind of my. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say she wanted to, I mean, I got that she wanted to kill Namor and all that, but I felt like it would have been a real hero moment for her to go back to the ball. That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought, like, once the Talokan people started to overtake them and they blew up the boat, that she was going to eventually fall back and help her people out and realize that, you know, it wasn't about her killing him, that she would have to go protect her people. But they didn't do that. I mean, that's just whatever they decided to do. But she, Suri left her people out there to take some L's, man. Yeah, I'm just saying.
My biggest negative of the film is just like, I don't think that big battle was even needed. I could have gone without that. I don't think it was, it did nothing for me. I'd rather have seen the showdown with Suri and Namor. I think that's where I was invested. That's where I was like, I cared.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's the thing with Marvel. Like, they do that, and like, we just seen it in Shang-Chi. We see it in Avengers.
Although I loved it in Shang-Chi.
Yeah, here it didn't work, and now it's like, okay, are we overusing this little trope that we have to have this big battle between whoever at the end?
Yeah,
here it didn't work, and it wasn't necessary. It really actually took away a lot of the third act of this film. For me. And it wasn't until we got to the desert where I was like, okay, I'm back in. We're ready. We're doing this. So that was my biggest negative.
I think that doesn't help either. That I don't. One of the weakest points I will say about Black Panther is it's the action itself, to be honest with you. Like, I don't find the action in particularly that thrilling. I mean, the car chase scenes, I actually love those in both movies.
Yeah.
I thought those are great in Black Panther and in Wakanda Forever. I thought they were great. Sure. But as far as like the hand to hand combat and some of the other stuff, I kind of like, it's kind of basic to me.
That's fair.
But although I did love the fight scene between Okoye and whoever that man was that she was going up against.
Oh, I don't
in the battle of the spears.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
his name,
though. Yeah. I love the fight on the bridge.
Yeah, for sure.
They teased it again.
Then they didn't do it.
I was really disappointed that we didn't really get a payoff to that.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
To that battle, and I was so.
Or I think we did, but it was just like very fast and quick and no effort put in that one. I think they kind of like, oh, we got to get this out of the way. Okay.
Yeah.
No, you're totally right about that.
What did you think of, well, speaking of this, what did you think of the Black Panther suit?
I didn't have a problem with it. I like it.
No, I think it made sense too. Also, there's actually there's some gold in there, which is similar to whose suit?
Killmonger suit
as Black Panther. Yeah, I thought that was I like the little touch there.
Yep.
That they did.
And it had like the white. I don't want to disrespect and call it dots, because I'm sure it's called. But
I'm sure there's some. Yeah. Yeah. Sure, there's some reason behind it. So, what did you think about? you know, there's a lot of speculation about who would become Black Panther.
I think we all knew.
There are people out there that are upset that it was Shuri. Like they, I never understood logically. I mean, and I was one of those people that gave out every possible person that could be Black Panther. But in my mind, it just kept going back to Shuri because I cannot imagine. From a writing standpoint, from a storytelling standpoint, I didn't make sense for it to be anybody else. No, it didn't. In my opinion.
No, I agree. Like, you can't have Killmonger come back. I swear. If I see somebody else say, oh, Killmonger should be back, shut your mouth. That doesn't work.
It doesn't make sense at all. And I was like, M'Baku, Nakia. Like, then you have to bring in somebody new and introduce them. Now, like, granted, that didn't make sense.
Lupita Nyong'o as Black Panther, I would love that. I think she would kill that. Yeah. But it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense because of the way that they set it up from the first movie. Like,
and she has a bigger role to play, in my opinion. So, we knew it was going to be Shuri, and we were right.
They tried.
We've been in the internet too long.
I know. The internet is smart, man. We know these things. We know. We can connect the dots. They tried to play us like we were stupid.
Yeah. Don't try. We can accept it. It's okay if it's predictable. Not everything that's predictable is bad.
Yeah.
And exactly. Especially with the role that Killmonger did play. I love that. Absolutely love that. So
But as we head to the finish line here, the overall movie, I like the fact that it was like this battle between these two tribes. But I'm looking at the bigger picture of Phase 4, and none of these movies really connect to anything at all. They're sort of like their own movies. Like,
and that's kind of how Phase 1 was.
Yeah, that's very true.
So we'll see.
I'm just wondering like what Phase 5 is, because Ant-Man and the Wasp and Quantumanium is that's the movie that kicks off Phase 5, yes. Right? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it's going to kick off Phase 5. So I would imagine, I think it's at the end of Phase 5, I think we have one of those Avengers movies that we're getting. So they're going to have to start interweaving these characters. So I'm sure there's a plan, because Kevin Feige always has a plan. Yeah. As we already talked about, it's going to be interesting, because I think we're going to see Shuri as the Black Panther. I think we're going to see Shuri as Black Panther through the Avengers, through their last Avengers movie. And then after that, we'll pick up there. But yeah, it was just interesting for me, because there's a lot of speculation and rumors out there with this movie. You know, there's rumors of Dr. Doom being in this movie and needing the vibranium and all this stuff. And that wasn't the case at all in this movie. I'm just curious to see where they're going overall, because again, for this to end Phase 4, I thought that it may sort of lead into the beginning of Phase 5, and they didn't, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with it. I just thought that the movie would have some sort of connection to kicking off Phase 5.
It seems like they're just waiting for Quantumania. I think that's going to be kind of kickoff point there with kind of interweaving stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. But we're going to wrap it up here pretty soon. Last thoughts, Danny. Overall, I guess the big question here is, I mean, of course, I hate doing it, but it must be done. Is this movie better than the original?
No, I said as much in the beginning. No, it's not. It's not better. And it's really just because of Chadwick.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Like, it's just, like I said, there's a legacy there that's going to live on pretty much forever. It'll Wakanda forever. Take that seriously. It's a thing. It's just, I don't think, there's not a lot of Marvel movies that can top the original Black Panther, to be honest with you. So, no, this didn't. But for what they had to do, for the time that it came, I thought this was really great. And like I said, when I watch it again, I know I'm going to love it more, but I already love it just thinking about everything that happened in the movie and just thinking about the obstacles that these filmmakers, and just as a movie, standalone as a movie, as a film, it looks good. It looks great. Like it just works for me.
Yeah.
I know it didn't work for everybody, but.
No, I know. I know. I mean, I would just say it only has an 84% of Rotten Tomatoes. that's still pretty good, yeah. You know? But no, I would agree and say that it's not as good as the original movie. There's something very magical and special about that first movie. Yeah, for sure. That this movie, I think actually part of it is because the passing of Chadwick is weighing on this movie.
Yeah.
Because I think it's still in the back of people's minds that he's passed away and he's not in the movie.
Yeah.
So even though there's this excitement for the sequel, there's also some sadness that goes along with it. Whereas the first movie was such an event, a moment that you had to be there. And obviously this movie is the same, but it's for a different reason.
Yeah.
And that unfortunately can't be duplicated or replicated.
For sure. Absolutely.
Either. But for me, just as a fan, like once I heard, and this is shout out to Ludwig. Once I heard the music start, and the soundtrack is amazing.
Oh, it is.
I
want to
say
we
that.
Didn't even talk about that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I didn't even really talk about
so
that.
Good.
I know. I mean, outside of me having to listen to that Rihanna song because Lana plays it on repeat all
oh,
the
that
damn
sounds
time.
Like a it's. I intentionally did not listen to that song just because I knew I was going to hear it in this film. So I'm glad I stayed away.
But all the other songs on the soundtrack are great,
yeah.
And of course the original score by Ludwig is great. And once I heard the
boop,
theme
boop,
for
boop, boop.
Yeah,
sets it off.
It got me, man. I was like, all right, I'm back, man. I'm ready. Especially in that opening sequence when you had the Dora Milaje come out with this, and you hear that. Oh man, it got me, man.
Boy,
it does. Yeah.
It's such a great score, man.
I just be listening to it, man, just by itself.
Yeah,
it's like
that.
And we didn't really talk about this, but the Talokan and the little sirens, that was ominous at the beginning of the movie when they attacked that ship.
It was like horror.
It was. It was very horror-like, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, no.
How about Lake Bell making a little appearance there?
Who?
Lake Bell.
Oh yeah. I thought she was gonna actually be in it more. I thought
she was gonna be in it more too. But you never know, man. You're never really dead in this MCU.
For those who didn't catch it, that's how they got the suits in Talokan. Because they was like, oh, how did Namor just get this suit? Did they plan for it the whole time? Da, 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 da. They killed them in the beginning. Y'all didn't
catch it. How he sounded?
Yeah, that's exactly how they sound. I was just bothered by it because people was literally like, how do you make a suit? How did they get this suit? I was like, they killed
people,
the divers that went down there.
Yeah, I think people think too hard sometimes about
they do
things,
man,
so.
Y'all trying to be film critics, yeah. And what the hell are you talking
yeah
about?
Exactly. And leave it up to the professionals. Leave it up to us guys.
And we're
know
not even that professionals.
But yeah, is there anything else you wanted to say before we wrap it up here?
Nah, man, love the film. Go watch it if you didn't, obviously.
Yeah.
Wish Tamika was here. So, I wish I would have loved her.
I know.
But
I
know she,
her.
I'm thinking she loved the film too. Rather than guess.
Yeah. Well, guys, that's going to wrap it up. We clearly enjoyed the film. What did you guys think? Hit us up on Instagram. Let us know what you guys think, and I know we'll be back again shortly with another full episode of the For Your Consideration podcast. But until then, until then, film fans,
peace. Wakanda.